I'll say something.
Well, I was waiting for you.
I don't know. Screw it. Podcast for October 17th, 2009. This is me, Michael Minotti, joined, as always, by Edge Guy.
Hello.
Hey, Edge Guy.
What's up?
We're flying, not solo, but, what would you call
Duo.
It?
Duo.
I guess, I never heard people say that, but here we are,
yeah.
Nonetheless.
Well, it should be noted, George Kokoris, our good friend, was supposed to join us, but he got hit by a car, and he wasn't in a car of his own to cushion the impact. But he's okay, and we're glad to hear that, so, you know, hang in there, buddy.
All you told me was he got hit by a car. I was like, oh, I didn't know that he was also in a car, so.
No, he wasn't in a car.
No, he wasn't.
Oh. No, he was just kind of walking around, I guess. His tweet last night was, I've never had to clean blood off my phone before.
Oh. Well, geez, is he okay?
Yeah, he says he's fine.
No, okay. Well, get better soon. I don't know. All right. Anyway, so me and you, it's just as well. What we're doing today is we're going to do first there's going to be the normal show. We're going to talk about news. Then we're going to go into the quiz. We're going to do a little segment. It's just a small thing. It's called Talking Point. Today's Talking Point is just the what other games coming out this year are you looking forward to. Since, you know, we kind of had two big releases come out this past week. Then we're going to do our week in gaming, but, you know, then we're going to finish up with the releases and whatnot. The thing is, Uncharted 2, we've both beaten it at this point. We kind of want to do the really sort of spoilerific discussion on it. So what we're going to do is, after the show, after the song, we'll come back in, then we're going to talk about. So, if you haven't beaten Uncharted 2 yet, you don't want to know all those kind of spoilers, you know, don't listen to the last segment of the show. You'll know. There'll be plenty of time for you to stop and react to it. We've done this before for...
Yeah, I was going to say, we haven't done one of these since, I think, Metal Gear Solid 4.
No, like, that was, like, the first one we did. We did one for Star Wars, for crying out loud, at least. Right?
That was last year.
Yeah, but that was... So, Metal Gear Solid 4 was last year earlier.
Oh, wait, yeah, hang on. What is the last one we did? I don't know, it doesn't matter.
I think Metal Gear Solid 4 was the first one we did, so I don't think that was the last one we did. Yeah. Anyway, so we'll talk about Uncharted 2 a little bit during our normal or weekend gaming thing. I'll probably talk about the multiplayer there at least.
Yeah, I haven't even gotten into it yet.
Oh, okay. But, you know, we'll get there when we get there. Why don't you start off with the news?
Okay.
But it should be noted that MPDs have been delayed till Monday, sadly.
Yeah, everything gets delayed now.
Oh, great.
So let's talk about Reggie Fils-Aimé's comments about the PSP Go, where he basically, you know, first starts off with that typical, oh, I have great respect for our competitors, but then goes on to basically say, what's the benefit to the user? He didn't really go into it too much more, but I just kind of find that corporate mouthing off funny.
Big surprise, Nintendo not a fan of the PSP Go.
Also, a bit of interesting news that came out is since the PSP Go's launch, we've had a bunch of retail games come out that haven't gone to download, and it was revealed that Sony does not require third parties to release a game digitally. I don't know, they might want to grow some stones and make that a requirement, or else this thing's never going to succeed. Now you're telling me I can't even get new games on it.
Right. I don't know. What else is there to say about the PSP Go? Clearly we're not impressed.
Fry's is selling them for $200 now already.
Who is?
Fry's. It's a big electronics store out west.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. It's kind of like what CompUSA sort of was before it closed, I guess. Except bigger.
I hated CompUSA.
Yeah, they were kind of disappointing. Anyway.
You loved CompUSA.
I did at first, and then, like, well, I guess it's because they were starting to close, and I didn't realize it, but, like, I'd go in there, they didn't have anything anymore. Moving on.
There was, I went to Cleveland with Dad not too long ago, and, like, I kind of felt bad because, like, his big surprise thing was he, like, got MapQuest directions to go to a CompUSA somewhere. I guess he thought that I was, like, I loved them. I was like, we don't have to go to the CompUSA. I didn't even know they had it anymore.
They don't. It was probably outdated directions. They're all closed.
Oh, good.
Anywho, moving on. So earlier in the week, Harmonix announced that they had most of the LEGO Rock Band songs set to be exportable to Rock Band 1 and 2 as, like, you know, downloads. They were working on getting the rest, and they succeeded. They announced a couple days ago that all of the songs will be exportable. They also took a nice little jab at Guitar Hero when they were saying, most of our songs, by most, we mean not 30%, but like 90%. I was like, ooh.
Zing.
But have you looked at the track list for LEGO Rock Band? It's really good.
I like, they have the Ghostbusters theme, right?
Yeah, and they have what's the Bon Jovi song I'm trying to think of? Shot Through the Heart. Is that what it's called?
Shot Through the Heart.
You Give Love a Bad Name. Jeez.
But that was in Guitar Hero 5.
Yeah, I know, but I don't have Guitar Hero 5, but I'm probably going to get this. The thing, they did say the export fee in this one's going to be $10, but the game itself is only $50, so it kind of balances out.
I guess so.
I'll take that.
I think it's interesting that a lot of people probably buy this game and maybe not really play LEGO Rock Band.
It's very possible.
Right.
A lot of people will probably buy it, export it, and sell it or something. Mm. But, I mean, it sounds like it does have some unique things going on within the game. Like, there's a lot of, you know, neat little game modes. Like, you know, it's a little more gamey for kids.
Right.
You know, I'm excited to see how it turns out. So Ready at Dawn, who famously worked on Chains of Olympus for the PSP, and I think they did Daxter, they've announced they've made a complete game development platform for every platform, PS3, 360, and even PSP it works on. And they're calling it the first of its kind, where it really does offer every aspect of game development onto one development platform that is completely portable. Like, you could work on it on one code base and instantly put it onto both systems. And those guys did really good tech on the PSP, so hopefully good things will come out of this.
Oh, hopefully. Wait and
also
see.
Also, the Crytek Engine 3 is available to licensees. It does the same thing. They've demonstrated it, where you build one code base and instantly deploy it on PC, PS3, and 360.
So there won't be as much of a disparity between releases?
Yeah, there won't be a disparity, and you won't have to put any effort into doing different ports. It'll be instantaneous.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, if it works.
All right, continuing to follow the number one news story of 2009, we have more Epic Mickey. Epic Mickey info. First Game Informer Online revealed this kind of time-lapse they had of one of the game's artists drawing Mickey and a villain that looked like a weird cross between a mechanical scorpion and Hades.
Hmm.
Did you see that?
No, I did not.
It also gave us kind of the first look at what Mickey looks like for this game. It's not quite as drastically retro as I thought it would be, but it is a little more old school. It looks really sweet. Then they just on the Game Informer website have like a video montage of some concept art and the creation of a level in the game. And the one concept art shows us like evil Oswald the Rabbit, and behind him is like this stained glass portrait of him in like regal garb.
What?
It looks so freaking awesome.
Man, that sounds intense.
And then this is the cool thing we found out now from Game Informer. So remember a couple years ago when Disney did their big trade, Al Michaels for Oswald the Rabbit with NBC Universal?
Right.
This game was apparently the reason for that.
Really?
Junction Point Studios and Warren Spector, I guess, said, listen, we really want Oswald the Rabbit to be the main character in this game. We think he's the perfect choice for this villain character, for the story we're creating. We need to figure out a way to get him back. And that's what pressed Bob Iger to do this.
Are you... I'm kind of surprised how much respect they apparently have.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, that shows to me that Disney is treating this like it's a big deal. Like, I mean, it's kind of good to see this, because I really want this game to be sweet. And it sounds like it's going to be.
I'm trying to figure out exactly how it won't be sweet still.
Like, I know, right?
It's Warren Spector. It clearly got some money behind it. I don't know. I'm hoping, and beyond all hope.
Okay, so Sega has announced, or launched rather, this service called Play Sega, which is kind of like a GameTap sort of thing. That they have some free games.
Why not call it Sega Channel?
Oh, that would have been sweet.
Yeah.
Anyway, for $15 for 3 months of the service gets you access to a bunch of classic Genesis games and some other games like Choo Choo Rockets on there. But if you get the 3 months for $15, you also get a USB Saturn controller.
Aw, man.
I know, it's probably worth the $15 right there. I might sign up for this just to get that.
Like, now, what Saturn controller? Are we talking the original
or the Japanese Saturn controller. The original.
Not the Knights analog controller.
No.
Okay. Still, though.
So I don't know if you saw this, but I'm very excited. Naughty Dog has announced that there's an Uncharted motion comic coming soon that acts as a prequel to the first game.
And it'll have the voice actors.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty excited. That should be sweet.
Yay.
Yay.
We also have rumors that NVIDIA's Tegra chip, which is an upcoming 3D mobile chip they've been working on, that they said is going to account for, like, 70% of the company's, like, production and profitability or something like that. Well, now we know why they have such confidence in it. Rumors abound that it's going to power the next Nintendo DS hardware.
Now, do you mean... Do you mean,
Like a DS2.
Oh, ooh. Not like DSP or like, whatever.
Yeah, like the next DS. I mean, that's probably a couple years off at the least. But yeah, if NVIDIA does get that and their chips are powering that thing, they're going to be making a shit ton of money.
Yeah. I'm kind of ready for a DS2. It's been enough time.
Yeah, we're there.
We're ready. Let's do it.
So, a Naughty Dog developer on Twitter may have accidentally let slip the announcement that in the next PS3 firmware, we're finally going to get cross-game voice chat. He made this Twitter update, and then it was very shortly thereafter deleted.
Well, it's good to know that that's finally happening, I guess.
On Microsoft's end, you can now go to their website and sign up to preview the next dashboard update. The preview should go live in a couple weeks.
This is the Facebook Twitter one.
Facebook, Twitter, Last.fm, and the Zune Marketplace with streaming 1080p video. Also as part of this update, Major Nelson sends word that with this update, unofficial memory cards will not work. I guess as long as the memory card you have says like the license by Microsoft or Xbox 360 logo on the package, you should be good. But he says, you know, make sure, and if you have stuff on an unlicensed memory card, get it off, because after this update, it's just not going to read anymore.
Well, it's kind of sucky.
Yeah. Guitar Hero Van Halen, which is shipping out to those of you who bought World Tour and signed up to get the free copy, the PS3 users are going to have to wait. They found a printing error on the packaging. And what I love is that they're like, you know, fortunately we caught this in time, and in order to bring you the best experience, we have to delay your order a bit. It's like, why not just send it out and then mail out the replacement packaging? I think it just comes in a cardboard sleeve.
Oh, it's kind of embarrassing. Didn't they do this already with Guitar Hero Metallica? Didn't they
misspell
Leonard Skinnerd?
You think they'd get a spell checker out there. And how is it that the PS3 packaging is misspelled, but the 360 isn't?
Maybe they misspelled PS3.
Wait a minute. This is PD3.
Right. What's a PD3? I don't know. Oh, what'd you do?
We also have confirmation that a standalone 250GB PS3 Slim is coming to the U.S. for $350. They haven't announced any bundles like Europe's getting yet, though.
Let's confuse the marketplace with more SKUs already.
I know, seriously. But still, $50 more to, you know, more than double your hard drive space. That's not a bad deal.
Right. I'd do it.
So this is very exciting, but also kind of sad at the same time. Sega is re-releasing Daytona USA in arcades with an HD remake titled Sega Racing Classic. Now, of course, it's renamed because Sega no longer has the Daytona license, which means they're probably going to have to cut out the song.
Aw, boo. Who cares? What's the point?
I know, right? Well, I'm hoping if this does come to, like, Xbox Live Arcade or PSN or whatever, I'm just going to get that song, put it on my hard drive, and just set it to loop as the background music.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Rolling start. Yeah, no. It's no good without that.
It needs that music. I mean, it's a great game still, but yeah, it needs that music.
It's an okay game without it.
Oh, I love Daytona. I played that so much in the Saturn.
Saturn.
Yeah. I'm talking about the Saturn a lot this week. Apple has made a change in their policy. Formerly, when they launched in-app DLC, free apps were not allowed to support it. I think their initial concern was that developers might try to bait and switch people by making a seemingly free application, then you have to download a bunch of stuff to make it even functional. They've rescinded on that policy. The two big things I think will come out of this, they're going to allow you to download the light version of the app, and then just upgrade it to the full version rather than having to download a separate program. And they're also, this will open up the way for, kind of free MMO-style things, or, like something like Farmville to come to the iPhone, where you can, you know, just get the free experience, but if you want to, buy Farmville bucks or whatever, you could do that now.
And what then is Farmville?
Oh my god,
that Facebook thing?
It's this stupidly... Well, that's like, when we sit at work, me and my friends, and we don't have anything to do, like, we can't, like, be installing games on our machines, but we all play Farmville. It's really stupid, but it's strangely addicting.
What's it like?
It's like Harvest Moon light. And I mean very light. You know, you plow, you plant, you harvest, you buy a bunch of animals, and after a while, they'll have, like, you know, cows will make milk or whatever. You have trees, they grow fruit, and you have to go harvest them, and that's really it. You could, like, decorate your farm. But then, like, there's the whole social aspect where, you know, you could go to your friend's farm and, like, get rid of crows or gophers or whatever, and you get coins and experience, and you could gift each other items, and, like, they do these things, like some people find an ugly duckling on their farm, and then they'll publish it on their Facebook news feed, and then if you adopt the duckling, you get it, and then after a while, it turns into a beautiful swan.
Oh, goody. All right, yes. Enough about
this. I have one of those swans.
Let's stop talking about this.
Okay, well, my final news story, this is just something kind of funny. A USPS worker is under arrest. Apparently in 2008, he worked at a sorting facility and stole 2,200 Gamefly games.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, this kind of goes along with this week's story, is that Gamefly is, like, I don't know if they're suing the Postal Service or what, for preferential treatment to competitor services such as Netflix and Blockbuster Online. This might have something to do with why they're upset.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
So there's the news in all their glory.
That's the news?
That's the news.
That's it. All right. Well, why don't we do the quiz then?
All right.
All right, you ready?
Yep.
Okay. First question, what was the first game Naughty Dog made?
Naughty Dog?
Mm-hmm.
Crash Bandicoot?
Yes.
Cool.
Question two, what year was that game released?
97?
96.
Damn it.
What was the last Crash Bandicoot game Naughty Dog made?
Cortex Revenge.
No, Crash Team Racing.
Oh, that doesn't count.
Sure does. Well, they didn't make Cortex Revenge, so there.
Oh, well, whatever.
What was the last PS2 game Naughty Dog made?
Jack-X Racing?
Yeah, Jack-X Combat Racing.
Yeah. They always finish up with racing games. Weird.
Question five, what company created Spyro?
Shit, I know this, but I don't. What is it?
Insomniac.
Yeah, that's what I was... Why didn't I just say that?
And the bonus question, how many Ratchet & Clank games were released for the PS2? Not including Size Matters ported or whatever.
Yeah, four.
Correct. So you got three.
All right.
I never realized...
Does this mean that toward the end of the PS3's lifespan, we're going to get an Uncharted racing game?
No, I hope not. Well, you know, it's weird because... When you really think about it, Insomniac and Naughty Dog mirrored each other, like, a lot. Like, PlayStation 1... Well, apparently, I guess they, like, there was... It's not a coincidence. Like, they worked in the same building for a while, and they were pretty friendly with each other. But PlayStation 1, they both had, like, their one mascot games. Mm-hmm. You know, Naughty Dog had Crash, Spyro had... I mean, Insomniac had Spyro. They both made three games with them. Then they had, you know, Naughty Dog did Ratchet & Clank, and then Naughty Dog did Jack and Dexter, and Insomniac Jack did Ratchet & Clank. They both did three games, and then they had, like, their spin-off title, because he had that Ratchet...
Deadlock or whatever.
Yeah, that thing. And now they're, you know, Insomniac's doing Resistance, and you have...
Well, they're still doing Ratchet & Clank,
right,
too, you know?
Yeah, I know. But still, it's a coincidence, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Just how similar their paths have been. All right. So then.
Talking points?
Yeah, let's do the talking point thing. More like talking point.
Yeah.
But what other games that are coming out this year are you looking forward to? What are must-haves for you?
Probably most notable of the list would be Modern Warfare 2.
I feel like that's the one other game that, like, has a chance of being a critical darling the same way.
Yeah, I mean, I was already excited for that game, but when I saw that DC trailer, I was like, oh my god, yes. I mean, it just makes me think of Fallout, which, you know, they're not related at all, except for that setting, but still, it excites me.
I think it's interesting, because I still kind of thought of Modern Warfare 2 as something that, I mean, Modern Warfare 1 as something that could have happened, maybe, in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see, like, Modern Warfare 2, and it's like, oh, DC is like half destroyed, it kind of separates it more.
Yeah, but that's okay.
No, it's fine. When does that come out exactly? I'm sure November.
November 16th?
16th? Sounds right.
Something like that. Which I believe is also the day that new Super Mario Bros. Wii comes out.
Ooh, they did some sort of big media event for it, sounds like.
Yeah, did you see the packaging?
Yeah, I did see the packaging.
It's like all red. It looks sweet.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention
how that Captain Lou...
pass. Everyone swing your arms from side to side in memoriam.
Yeah. Sad. Anyways.
But yeah, everyone who's played Super Mario Brothers says it's absolutely incredible. And the thing I'm glad to hear is it works both as single player and multiplayer.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it's not like you're playing a gimped experience if you try to play it by yourself, which is good.
Just so you know, me and Chris have already shotgun Mario and Luigi, so you're one of the toads.
Damn it. Fine, I'll be the blue one.
Lol.
Hey, can you shotgun without me there?
Oh, we did.
Bastards.
So, deal with it. No, that does look fun. I mean, when you watched it just running, it looks really impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm very stoked.
Mm-hmm.
Also, coming out, I think, the first week in November that I'm very excited about will be Dragon Age.
You know, let's talk about Dragon Age.
Okay.
I got that Dragon Age character creator thing.
I haven't got anything. I don't even know if my computer would run it.
Well, you know, there's the trailer for Dragon Age, and this is just one of those games where it just looks, and I literally mean, like, the way it looks, like, graphically and artistically, so unappealing to me. It's such a derivative, like, the Tolkien-esque sort of thing.
Apparently I like that and you don't, because I love Oblivion and you don't for pretty much the same reason. But, so I see this game having a similar schism between the two of us.
To me that's not an art style. That's a lack of an art style. Like it doesn't look like anything. It just looks like, well, if there was really a dragon, here's what a dragon would look like, and it looks stupid. I have that problem with a lot of Western RPGs, apparently, because I can't get into Morrowind, I can't get into Neverwinter Nights or Baldur's Gate or any of that stuff for the life of me, because it seems so, I don't know, kind of boring.
See, and I like all that stuff, so.
I mean, say what you will about, like, the Japanese RPGs, you know, they have their own sort of cliches and whatnot that they fall into, but at least they're colorful. I don't know, it's just, you know, I made my character, and he looked ugly, and the trailer looked ugly, and, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of nice D&D mechanics in it, but I want to feel it, but I just don't feel it.
I feel it. I'm very excited.
I guess, if you say so.
Yeah, and I just read today that Amazon has, if you pre-order it, you get some bonus items along with a $10 Amazon gift card, so I think I'm just going to pre-order it there and get it sent over.
So, I think you're getting an Xbox version.
Yeah, there's no way my computer could run that game with any decency.
Aren't you excited for Borderlands?
I am, really? But that... I mean, just with everything else that's out right now, that's one that's... a Christmas game. I'll try to get that, like, ask for it for Christmas or something, I guess. I'm not going to rush out and get it when it comes out next week. Because, I mean, I haven't even touched on Brutal Legend yet. I'm going to get that today. It's sitting on my shelf. I just got Guzex finally sent my copy of Red Faction Guerrilla that I've really been wanting to play for a while. That's sitting on my coffee table. I still haven't finished ODST. I want to do that. I still have Mario and Luigi to go in my DS. I haven't gotten to that lately because I've been playing Uncharted all week. I still have so many games that I've gotten that I'm still excited about that I need to finish. And the thought of getting something that's like an infinitely playable Diablo-style game in a first-person world, I don't have time for it right now.
Perfect.
But that'll be something, like I said, that'll be something good to get while I'm home for the Christmas break, because you can play co-op split screen, and I'll have nothing to do for like 3 weeks, and I can just grind through that game, and it'll be sweet.
Hopefully. I didn't realize it had co-op until I saw a commercial that told me it did.
Yeah, there's 4-player online co-op, and then 2-player split screen local co-op.
That's one of the games where I haven't followed it to death, so I don't really know all that it's about. I just kind of understand that it's this sort of RPG, first-person shooter hybrid, which makes me think of Fallout 3, but I guess it's not really that much like Fallout 3.
Nah, I mean, all they have in common is that it takes place in some kind of post-apocalyptic wasteland, their first person.
Right. But, you know, there's a game that actually has an art style, so that's nice.
Yeah, because originally, it remember, that game did look kind of cookie-cutter, you know,
right.
Bland, realistic. And they did that big relaunch with the, you know, they say it's not cel-shaded, but it's cel-shaded. But it looks awesome. There's nothing wrong with saying it's cel-shaded to me.
Well, apparently for them there is.
Yeah, whatever.
Mm-hmm. You know, talking about a Brutal Legend, I got the game, you know, I went to a midnight sale and I got Uncharted 2 and my younger brother got Brutal Legend. I'm suddenly terrified to play Brutal Legend.
Yeah, well, I mean, Chris likes it, right?
Yeah, you know, almost everyone I talk to likes it, but, you know, I guess I wasn't aware that there were, like, I didn't know that there were any RTS elements in it. I'm kind of confused to myself how I missed that.
No, I saw that coming, because you see in the trailers, he was, like, running around with groups of guys around.
Well, sure, right? Sure, but I didn't think that meant you were going to build a base and literally, you know...
Yeah, so, I don't know. So to me, from what everyone said, and someone on Twitter said this, it's a lot like Sacrifice.
I was thinking, what I thought of immediately, it was Giant Citizen Kabuto.
Yeah.
But I don't think anyone else would make that connection anymore.
Except me.
Yeah.
But, I mean, no, like, everyone who's played it still says it's really sweet, and I just think Tim Schafer didn't do himself any ideas, any favors when he came out and said, no, you're playing it wrong if you're playing it like an RTS, because everyone's like, it's an RTS.
Tycho kind of tore him apart.
Yeah, he wasn't too happy about it.
Tycho doesn't even seem that pleased with the game. I don't know. It's just, I don't have any great love for the RTS genre. So to find out that this game was, maybe not secretly, but I didn't know that it was an RTS is kind of disheartening. Because,
right.
I mean, I kind of wanted it to just be the demo. Like, I kind of wanted a linear action game with, you know, good dialogue and funny jokes.
Right.
And I don't know how excited I'm not nearly as excited to play some sort of open world RTS game.
Try it, you might like it.
Yeah, I know, but it's just, I don't know. Like I said, I have no great love for that genre at all.
I know.
I mean, what about you? What have you just not been playing it because you've been busy with Uncharted 2?
Yeah, like I mean, I beat Uncharted 2 Thursday night and then yesterday was my work day from hell. I had a 19-hour day yesterday, and it sucked.
Yeah.
But, moving on with our list. Like I was talking before, I'm probably going to be getting Lego Rock Band when that comes out.
Yeah.
Just because, like I said, that track list is better than the Guitar Hero 5 track list to me.
Guitar Hero 5 had a pretty good track list, actually.
I'm not as much into the heavy metal stuff, I guess. There were three songs in that game I liked when I played it with Chris.
Really?
Yeah. I like the Bon Jovi, I like the Gorilla song, but that's DLC in Rock Band, and I like Watchtower.
Okay.
And, like, everything else, I didn't even know what they were. Maybe I'd like them if I try them, I don't know. Like, just, I look at the Lego set list, and I see, like, half the songs are songs I know I like.
Apparently the new SmackDown versus Raw game is pretty sweet.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, IGN said it was the best one in a while, so I'm kind of looking forward to that.
Well, that's
of
good.
Course. I mean, that'll be a Christmas sort of or birthday sort of game.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm always.
I still want to get Demon's Soul at some point. My plot for the buy two get one free sale at Toys R Us was less than successful. Toys R Us didn't have the game, and I called Best Buy to see if they would price match the offer, which they did, but then they didn't have it either. So mm-hmm. And now that I think about it, there are some things I could have gotten like. A Boy and His Blob came out this week, or I forgot about like Dead Space Extraction. Apparently that's pretty good. But what I ended up doing is I just got a copy of Fallout 3 Game of the Year Edition to give to Chris, because I know he's wanted it, and I kind of tricked him into buying that expansion pack thing for $20 and then ended up taking the game away right afterwards.
Right, yeah.
So I just got that for him. He can have it.
Yeah, that's good.
Like I said, I've got enough shit to play right now.
Right. Plus, is there anything cool in that package? Like,
the game of the year. I don't know, but I know it comes with all the DLC.
Oh, yeah.
So you get $50 worth of DLC. I think it's like you're paying $10 for the full game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very sweet.
Yeah, that's not a bad deal at all if you don't have that game yet.
No, not at all. What else?
I'm trying to think what else is coming out.
There's that God of War collection.
See,
yeah, God of War 1 and 2.
That's the kind of thing I'd buy if I didn't have anything else to play, and I just wanted to play those. But like I said, there's so much other shit coming out right now. Like, that's another thing that came out in July. That would have been amazing.
Did you even ever beat God of War 2?
I didn't beat it. The only one I've beaten is PSP 1.
You didn't beat God of War 1?
No.
See, that was back when God of War was still, like, cool and, like, kind of respected more so than it is now. Now a lot of people kind of blame God of War for things they don't like QTEs and more super macho people. Back then, God of War was like, this is a big deal, and, you know, right. It's telling a good story.
Like I said, this is something I'll get eventually, and I'll finally play through them, and, you know.
I mean, you know, you don't have to, but, you know, they're fun.
Yeah. I'm considering just starting up a Gamefly subscription soon to get to some of these games I've talked about, too, and maybe I'll get that game in there.
Right. Well, I'm sure we're forgetting something.
I'm trying to think, like, is anything else coming out for the Wii?
Wii,
Aside from Mario?
It's got to have something, right? I mean, I do kind of, like you said, I want to try Dead Space Extraction.
Yeah, I watched the co-op segment on it last week, and it does actually look really cool.
But, I don't know. That Pokemon Soul Silver Heart Gold, that's not coming out this year here, is it?
No, that's not, and I was going to say Red Steel 2, but I think that got pushed back.
Red Steel 2?
Yeah, it actually looks kind of good. Now that it's using the Wii Motion Plus, it'll actually work. And they have, like, an actual art style now. It's, like, kind of cel-shaded, and it's, like, this kind of samurai mixed with Western sort of thing.
I remember it was sort of placed on the first Red Steel to, like, kind of prove that Wii games could still look good.
Yeah.
And screenshots that kind of had us fooled for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I almost don't blame Ubisoft for that game, because, like I've said, I think they were just designing a game to play on the way we all thought the Wii was going to work, which is the way it does work now with the Motion Plus accessory. So that's right. Why I think maybe Red Steel 2. I mean, I'm not going to blindly buy it, but I'm just going to watch and see how it does with reviews and stuff.
When does Splinter Cell Conviction come out?
That's 2010 as well, but that looks really good, too.
Mass Effect 2 is January.
Oh, Assassin's Creed 2 comes out next month.
Oh, really? That's right.
I knew we were forgetting one really big one. You said Splinter Cell, and that jogged my memory. Yeah, yeah. I'm definitely getting that. That looks sweet.
You need to finish the first one.
No, I don't.
Oh, if you say so.
Everyone who's talked about it says you don't need to finish. I know what happens. You told me, I think.
Oh, yeah, I probably did.
Yeah, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, I guess not. But I think that one looks pretty
good. See that the rumor is that Assassin's Creed 3 will star a female assassin in World War II?
Why World War II? Don't we have enough games?
I hope not. There's still so much more cool history between the Renaissance and World War II that we could. I still want the Victorian London one.
At least do World War I.
Yeah.
Why does it have to be World War II?
I don't know.
How does that work? Like, how assassiny and stealthy can you be when everyone has, like...
Maybe it's in Berlin. Maybe you're trying
guns.
To assassinate Hitler.
Oh, God. See, it's stupid. Come on. Don't do World War II. For crying out freaking loud.
I know.
Why don't you just set the next one on Hoth?
It doesn't even make sense.
No, it doesn't, but... you know. You know the joke.
Yes.
I don't know. For me, I'm not... I don't want to say I'm deflated, but my... most anticipated game came out last week with Uncharted 2.
Yeah, I know, that's the problem. We've hit the peak, and now we're just kind of coasting down to the usual glut of holiday games. I'm sure we'll be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, everyone complained about all the things getting delayed, but it still looks pretty good.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, people have bitched about it. I'm like, dude, I still can't keep up with everything coming out this winter. Like, thank God those games got delayed.
So, if you feel like Nintendo would need more than one release, I guess they got Wii Fit Plus.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll do fine for them, and but no, see, the thing is, they don't. You realize, we're going to see new Super Mario Bros. For the Wii. It's going to be, like, on the DS. It's going to be on the top 10 NPD list for 2 years.
Yeah. Well, we'll get Mario Galaxy 2, hopefully, relatively soon in 2000.
Well, that should probably be next winter.
Next winter, you think?
Probably next November, before Christmas.
Yeah, you're
again.
Probably right. Oh, well. All right. Anything else you can think of?
I think that's it.
You think you're good?
Yeah.
What about Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Winter Games? Think that came out?
I think I'm good, yeah.
Think you're going to pass up on that one?
Yeah.
Pokemon Mystery Dungeon Explorers of Sky?
No.
No? I wonder what... with all these basketball games came out, I wonder which one's the good one. There's like three different series. It's confusing.
I can't get... like, I got that NCAA download game they released last March because it was only $15. And I was like, yeah, maybe I just need to learn how to play these properly. Something about them just doesn't click with me, and I don't know what it is.
I think the problem is that we want them to play, like, NBA Jam, and they don't.
I think that is. Yeah, you have to do, like, play calling and all this shit. I'm like, I don't know how this works. I know how to put a basket into a hoop.
Right, yeah. I want to play NBA Jam TE. Yeah. Tournament edition.
They need to bring that out for XBLA.
That'd be a great XBLA game. Kind of do like a HD remake of NBA Jam. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Have it just have it have all those 90s basketball players.
I'm sure that's a licensing nightmare.
Yeah, I guess. What the hell? Filled with generic people. That's not that important in NBA Jam. I just want to play NBA Jam.
It really isn't.
No. All right. So, our week in gaming. How was Uncharted 2?
Pretty much one of the best games ever made.
I know. It was really great. I was very happy.
This was great. Because you went to the midnight sale Tuesday night for the game. And I was going to go the next day after work to get it. And I was at school, actually, at like 2 a.m. working on a project. And so I sent you a text message. I was like, how's the game? And you responded with, it's better than I thought. I was like, there's no way. Because you already had this game so inflated. You wrote an article about why it's already Game of the Year.
Right.
On Bitmob that ended up on the PlayStation blog. So needless to say, you had high expectations.
Yes, I did. And they were.
And to hear you say that they were exceeded.
They were.
Made me very, very, very excited to play this game.
Oh, it was just so good.
I mean, yeah, so we're going to try to avoid spoilers, but I got to say, just that opening sequence was like the best opening sequence ever in a game. Hands down. It beats even Half-Life 2.
I don't know.
To me. I think so.
We'll talk specifically, but it was really good. It was really good. I mean, I said actually to you, I think this is the best game since Half-Life 2.
Yeah.
To come out.
Oh, for sure.
There's just things in it that's just... It's just doing things other games don't. It's just exciting, suspenseful.
This is the only game where I've thought to myself, the cinematography is excellent.
Yes.
A company's finally realized that in a third-person game, they're allowed to frame shots. It's incredible. Like, again, I don't want to... I want to use specific scenes to illustrate my example. I'm going to wait. But, I mean, you get this sense that someone who knows how to, like, frame a shot in a movie was like, here's where to put the camera, here's how to have it move. And, like, someone made this comparison somewhere online. Like, part of what makes it work is because the camera shots are realistic. You feel like a camera could actually get in there. Like, if this were a real thing happening, these cameras could be doing this. Then you watch that stupid trailer for 2012 where they're, like, flying under exploding highways.
Oh, man.
It's too fantastic. And as a result, it looks completely fake because there's no way a camera could move like that.
Right.
Ooh, real quick. I just thought of... I see a game I forgot. Forza 3.
Oh, okay.
Probably going to get that.
Yeah. Maybe Moving Christmas. On. Anyways, there's just so many, like, set pieces, though, you could call them. Just so many moments where there are cool things.
I know, it's just...
Like, I could do, like, the top five best moments from Uncharted 2. I think it's well known at this point that there's a train level. Can I just go ahead and say that the train level was awesome?
Yeah.
Man.
It blew away anything I would have thought possible in a video game.
Because there's just moments where, like... Because, like, the train, it's not, like, going through, like, a repeated sequence of landscapes. Like, it's going through this giant environment.
Everything's unique. I don't know how they did that.
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, you go by waterfalls, you go by lakes, you go by villages. Like, I do not get it. Like, how did that happen?
I don't know, but it really is incredible.
How the hell does this game not have loading times at all? Like, except for like, when you start
there's, up. There's one, you know, kind of long load at the very beginning, and that's it. That's
like,
it.
I don't get it. I don't get it. How the hell does Metal Gear Solid 4 make you install, like, parts of their games in between chapters? And Uncharted 2 has no loading times.
I don't know.
Like, it's
an incredible feat.
It's like... Uncharted 2 is one of those games that just makes everyone else look bad.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And maybe not everyone else, but at least everyone else is, like, making a AAA game, you know, whatever. It's like, well, why do you have loading times? Look at Uncharted 2.
I mean, the thing is, they've set the bar, and it's probably going to be a while till anyone gets above that bar, unfortunately. Yeah.
But
But yeah, you play it, and you're like, this is how games need to be made. You know, this is what we should be expecting. It really is. Is it so much to ask that something is well made, has an engaging story with good acting? Because that's what makes it.
Lofty
expectation?
It is like, why haven't we been having more games like this? I mean, everything that was great about Uncharted 1 is still here, except the only, it's just, you know, everything's bigger.
I said, like, well-made, good acting, good story. Those are not things that have been limited by technology.
No.
Those are things that we that you know, it just takes some work and some talent. Right. Like, why don't we have that?
It's like, you know, Cliffy B, Gears of War could be something like this.
Yeah, it absolutely could be, but they don't.
Instead, it's just, you know, there was a war and stuff, and we're fighting aliens. You know, basically, it's the same. It's like the same plot as Half-Life 2, but incredibly less interesting.
Right.
What was I going to say? No. Something about Uncharted 2 being sweet, I'm sure. Oh, how do they make that game in 2 years?
I don't know. I mean, a movie like that would probably take 4.
I just don't get it. How does Uncharted... I do not understand why Uncharted 2 takes 2 years to make. And we still don't have a freaking screenshot for episode 3.
Here's another question. Like, how long did it take you to go through? Like, 12 hours?
10 hours. Well, it's a funny story. I actually, you know, I was playing it a lot. I got the midnight sale. When it was about 11:50 on still, like, the release day PM, and I was like, oh, man, if this game ends soon, I'll have beaten it on the launch day. So I was kind of almost anxious that it would... like, not that I wanted it to end soon, but, you know, like, it ended up, like, finishing at about... you know, I got the trophy for beating it at 11:58. I was like, yes. But, yeah, about 10 hours. So perfect length.
So, yeah, let me ask you a couple questions now. At any point in this game, were you bored?
No.
Did you feel like anything was taking too long?
No.
Did any of the content in this game feel like filler to you?
We'll say that last one again, I'm sorry.
Did anything in this game feel like filler to you?
No.
They made a 10 to 12 hour long, perfectly engaging game.
They did. Well, I mean,
the thing is, like, this is what I praise about the Half-Life episodes, is that they were shorter, but they were very content-heavy and engaging like this. This game is a full-fledged game that does the same thing.
Right.
I don't know, like I said, yeah, 2 years, I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you do that.
I know, it's crazy. And, I mean, it's not like they're not reusing that many assets from Uncharted 1.
No, they even rebuilt the character models, they said.
Really?
Oh, yeah, geez. I was watching some of the making-of videos. They were talking about it.
It's funny just how much you like these characters now, too.
Oh, I know.
It's like when you see Solly again, it's like, yay, Solly. I love you.
And I will say, I have not been this sad to see a game end in a long time.
Right.
I could have kept playing this forever. I was like, oh, is it over?
Come on, Uncharted 3.
Seriously, right? 2 more years, right. Maybe.
But, you haven't tried multiplayer yet?
I haven't even touched it.
It's you know, my one friend was over as I was playing the multiplayer, and he was like, I can't believe how good the multiplayer looks in this.
Yeah.
Right, but, you know, I've been enjoying it. I got to level 10 so far. You know, death matches, like the beta. I never tried very many of the, kind of objective-based games. You kind of have that, capture the treasure thing where, you know, there's the treasure in the middle, and you, if both teams go out for it, and you have to get it back. Whoever gets the treasure back 5 times wins. There's this one called Chain Reaction, which is kind of neat. It's like there's 5 sort of capture points, and it's not so much there aren't tickets or anything like that. It's just whoever can go from like 1 to 5 in like a sequence and get all 5 of them first wins.
Okay.
Then you have like the more typical sort of ticket based kind of thing. There's, you know, King of the Hill, stuff like that. But I've been enjoying it immensely.
Cool.
I haven't tried out any of the co-op or the Gauntlet or whatever.
Yeah, we'll do that this week.
Plunder, I think.
Quick aside, I thought of another game, Left 4 Dead 2.
Oh, right, that is a big one.
I'm probably going to pre-order on Steam so I can get the demo in a couple weeks.
You know what, as much as I didn't play Left 4 Dead 1 enough to sort of validate a purchase for Left 4 Dead 2, I think.
I'm excited.
Right. But we'll talk about Uncharted 2 more after the show.
Yes.
This is our last segment.
Yes.
Oh,
it's gonna be great. You shall come.
Right. So I haven't tried Brutal Legend yet.
Yeah, I'll get to it. I using my Japanese PSN account, I downloaded the demo for Bayonetta.
Oh, how was it?
It's okay. I feel like I'm having a hard time weeding through this game's bullshit.
See, I kind of like some of that over the top ridiculous stuff.
I do too, but I feel like for one, people wouldn't give nearly as much a crap about this game if it wasn't for the fact that Bayonetta is like some sexy female character who gets half naked every time she does an attack.
Right.
Like, you know, I laugh. You go on these gaming blogs and you'll see an article that's like, you know, are women being objectified in games? How can we overcome this? Blah, blah, blah. And then the next article above it, written by a different author, is like, new screenshots of sexy Bayonetta in action. And I'm like, you guys are assholes.
Right.
Like, you can't keep doing this. And then you play the game. If there is a story, it makes no fucking sense. Maybe that's a limitation of the demo. Whatever. But, I mean, you play the going objectively from the gameplay. It's very cool. It's very flashy. There's a lot going on. But again, you could get by, which is the basic kick, 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 or punch, 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 punch combo. You don't need to do all these moves. At least the demo gave me no reason to think I would need to.
Well, I would hope that the game would get harder.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to get it. I've never cared for these Japanese action games. I mean, if you like Devil May Cry, you're going to like this. It's the same guy.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing, too. Like, everyone's like, oh, it's going to be sweet. I'm like, it's just another Devil May Cry with a different character, and it's, like, slightly flashier.
Well, I think people who were disappointed by Devil May Cry 4, maybe they'll be like, oh, this is more of a real sequel.
I guess so.
But, I think I still want to try it.
Also, the performance problems people talk about on the PS3 are very apparent. There's a lot of slowdown. Textures are blurry. Hmm. And, you know, it has this great disclaimer at the end of the demo. What was the wording? Was it, like, ported by Sega or transferred by Sega? Because, you know, the actual studio doesn't want people thinking this is their fault. Because they didn't do it. Sega did the port.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's very funny. You play anything else?
So I got Pixel Junk Monsters on the PSP.
I've been playing that surprisingly a lot.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
Like, I don't like tower defense games, really, but I enjoy Pixel Junk Monsters.
The difference is the fact that you have that character you control.
Right. Yeah, you're right. I do kind of like that. I feel like I have a person that I'm playing as in the game.
Yeah, we need to try the multiplayer
stuff. Oh, right, the co-op thing.
Because I heard that's really fun. And yeah, I mean, $20 is kind of a lot for a tower defense game, I guess. But, I mean, there's just a lot to it. I mean, it's the original game that was on PS3 with the expansion pack, so there's a ton of content. Yeah, it's just really, really good. I like it a lot.
I enjoy it, too.
Let's see what else happened this week. It's just a lot of Uncharted. I'm trying to think if I played anything else at all.
Right. Clearly nothing notable.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, why don't we just move on, then?
No. Yeah, we can do that.
All right. So tell me.
Yes?
What are the downloadable game releases?
On WiiWare.
Do I have to ask?
Yes, I'd like that.
All right.
We have a game called Gravitronics on WiiWare. No idea. Virtual Console has a Super Nintendo version of Final Fight 2.
Ooh.
None of them are as good as Final Fight CD, and that opening cutscene's like, you son of a... What have you done with my daughter? And we're like, oh, he almost swore in a video game.
Oh, my God. Oh, God, if only we knew.
I know.
Jeez. If we could see, like, Grand Theft Auto 4, like, back then, we'd be like, what?
Yeah.
You jeez.
Can do this. DSi gets Pinball Pulse. The Ancients beckon.
Do they beckon?
No.
Okay.
Xbox Live Arcade sees Sam & Max Beyond Time and Space, which is Sam & Max Season 2, for $20, which I'm considering. We also have Axel and Pixel, which is this kind of adventure sort of game that looks really interesting. I have to try the trial for it. Have you seen this at all?
No.
It's got these kind of cool, like, kind of hand-drawn, like, roughly drawn characters, and the backgrounds are these weird mashups of, like, real-world photos and art and stuff like this. It looks very cool. I saw some videos of it. It's hard to describe, but it looks very cool. We also got a new Xbox Original, Grand Theft Auto 4.
Oh, all so, right.
Whoop-de-doo. PlayStation Network, PS3, a game called Mushroom Wars, .detuned, there's a period in front of it, Buzz Jr. Monster Rally, which I imagine is some kind of Halloween-themed Buzz game, and Topotoy the Great Tree Story, whatever that is.
All right.
Bunch of PSP games. SOCOM, U.S. Navy SEALs, Tactical Strike, Manhunt 2, Midnight Club LA Remix, Midnight Club 3 Dub Edition. I thought both of those were out already, but I could be wrong. Street Fighter Alpha 3 Max, Astro Boy, the video game, Harvest Moon, Boy and Girl, Innocent Life, a futuristic Harvest Moon, and Real Fishing, The Great Outdoors.
All right.
Then a PS1 classic, Tomb Raider, The Last Revelation.
Is that Tomb Raider 4?
I think so. I think that's the one where, like, Laura died. It starts at her funeral.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. if only.
But she was okay.
Yeah. GoodOldGames.com. We have Robinson's Requiem Collection and Ishar Compilation.
Okie doke.
I don't know what those are.
All right. So, Uncharted... I mean, I just wanted to say Uncharted 2. The retail releases, we had Uncharted 2, of course.
Yes.
Also, this was the first game that had, like, the new PS3 packaging.
I didn't even notice that. I just tore it open right away and started playing the game. I should look at that.
I kind of feel bad for all these, like, other PS3 games that came out the same day. They had the sort of old packaging with the Spider-Man font.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So, Brutal Legend, PS3, Xbox 360. Dream Killer for, PC. Magna Carta 2 for the 360 role-playing game. Half Minute Hero for the PSP.
I need to try. There's two demos for this game. I need to try this. I don't get it.
What is it?
You play, like, these 30-second scenarios of, like, an RPG.
Is it, like, WarioWare?
I don't know. I don't know how you can play an RPG in 30 seconds.
It sounds like an interesting concept. It got an 8 on GameSpot, so...
Yeah.
NBA 2K10 got a PC release, it looks like. Tropico 3 for Xbox 360. Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Winter Games for DS and Wii. Way of the Samurai 3 for PS3. Obscure the Aftermath for PSP. Fallout 3 Game of the Year Edition 360 and PC.
And PS3.
I was about to say. Pokemon Mystery Dungeon Explorers of Sky. There's been a lot of these, God, for the DS.
They must sell.
Yeah, A Boy and His Blob for Wii, and A Witch's Tale for the DS. I was under the assumption that A Boy and His Blob was going to be a WiiWare game.
Yeah, no, I saw videos of it. It does look very cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's very pretty.
Right.
It has a hug button.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes, it's adorable.
Well, then, we are going to kind of cut off here. But, you know, there's going to be a segment after this. We're going to talk about Uncharted 2 in every detail possible. So, you know, if you haven't beaten it yet, you don't want to hear a spoiler or something, you know, don't listen to this last part. Because you will get ruined. But if you're leaving us now, you know, thanks for listening. Yeah, you can find more of us at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com. You know, we'll see you next week. Hopefully you'll come back.
Well, give him the full sign-off. You could follow us at twitter.com/explodingbarrel, and you could also check us out at squadronofshame.com.
I didn't want to do the full sign-off. I wanted to do, like, a half sign-off.
But... Hey, be nice to the people who aren't cool like us and have beaten Uncharted 2 in the first week.
Oh, okay. All right,
then. Oh, we should also say for those people, too, that in the next couple of days, the squad should be putting out their side mission podcast of the original Uncharted.
Oh, right.
Which I understand was quite epic.
Yes, I was there, actually.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that.
It's good times. All right. So we'll cut off here, and we'll see some of you back. Otherwise, we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, I don't know if I would say it was a better opening than Half-Life 2. It was a cool opening.
I'm going to say yes.
It was sweet climbing up the train.
That was so...
Like the front cover of the game.
I was friggin' on the edge of my seat that entire sequence. I was like, how the fuck is he going to get out of this? I didn't know. As I'm doing it, I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to get up this. This is amazing. Absolutely amazing.
The typical Uncharted trick where you're climbing up things and they're kind of breaking or bending the wrong way.
The camera work in this scene, it was amazing. Absolutely incredible. And then when you finally get to the top, just the way you had to, like, actually run off it and jump as it was continuing to fall off the cliff. I mean, God, everything about that. I was like, nothing like this has ever been done in a video game. This is amazing. And then they did do something that I don't think has ever been done in a video game. They had a real-time scene change in a flashback.
Oh, I think a flashback has been done before.
But, like, there was no loading, and it was all in real time.
Oh, yeah, that's
true. They went to a completely different environment.
It was impressive.
I love the way how it set up the story, where it starts in the middle. You don't realize
rest.
It at the time, but you start in the middle and then start flashing back, and then eventually you catch back up to where you were.
Right.
Well, that was...
It's a familiar storytelling device, but it's interesting to see it in, like, a game.
I know, and that's what I'm saying. Like, it is a familiar storytelling device. I can't believe no one's used it in a game yet.
Well, I'm sure someone has.
It works so well.
Right. But, you know, one of the first things you do after that is you kind of do, you're kind of introduced to how Uncharted 2, you know, stealth is more of an option now.
Which I loved.
Yeah, the stealth combat worked better than in a lot of stealth games.
Yeah.
There's a lot, you know...
I mean, in general, they did a good job of reinforcing... I mean, all this stuff was in the first game. It just was never really reinforced. The stealth combat, the hanging and shooting. I didn't even know you could do that in the first one by the time I'd beaten it. Mm-hmm. But, like, there's, like, sections in this game where you have to, and they're awesome. And we'll go through the game sequentially. We'll get to one really good one.
Well, just, you know, I liked... You know, learning how you can do these stealth attacks where if you're in cover, you grab a person, you kind of shove them against the wall, or if you're hanging down, you grab the person, kind of fling them off the top of something.
There's that great bit in the heist scene in the beginning with Flynn where he's like, "There's a guy above you, there's a guy above you," and you rip him down. "There's a guy below you, there's a guy
right.
below you."
That was hilarious. But I mean, just I like how it's fast paced stealth though. Like you don't have to watch people and figure out their routines. You know, chances are they're kind of programmed so that the person's gonna be where you need them to be when you get to them.
Right. So let's talk, I guess, right away about the two new characters in this game, Chloe and Flynn.
Well, Flynn is obviously sort of a Nathan Drake foil.
He's great. I love that character much. Such an asshole.
Mm-hmm. And Chloe's basically, like, the female Nathan Drake, who hasn't,
And she's also, like, the complete polar opposite of Elena.
Right, exactly.
Elena, a little darker skin, dark hair, a little rougher edged.
Right, yeah. She's almost more like what Drake maybe was at one point. Like, a bit harder, a bit less, caring, maybe a bit more selfish. But both new characters work out really well. The villain works out really well.
Yeah, he was good. I liked Lazarevich.
Right, because he was legitimately seemed pretty evil and threatening.
Yeah.
When you were in the thing right before the E3 demo, did you jump into the pool?
No, George wanted us to bring this up, and I missed it.
You didn't do that.
No, I'm going to... Don't tell me... I guess you could die. I'm going to go load up that chapter and just try it.
Well, it's great, because you jump into the pool, and then he goes, "Hey," because it's Drake and Chloe. And he's like, hey, Marco. And you get the... And then, you get the medals in the game, you get the Marco medal.
Oh, there's a medal for that?
Yeah, you get a medal, funny. Marco medal. It's like, oh, that's funny. Then she's like, "I'm not saying it." He's like, "Oh, come on." She's like, "Polo." And then you get the Polo medal.
That's awesome.
It was pretty good. I was happy. I went into the pool by mistake, and then it happened. I'm like, thank God I went into that pool.
Yeah, I didn't even. I walked through the pool. I walked through the shallow part just because I was walking around up there, so I couldn't quite find where to go next. But I didn't go into the pool, and I'm mad I didn't.
Oh, it was hilarious. Then you got to do that E3 demo finally, which was like, oh, sweet, finally, and now I'm chased by the helicopter, and I'm in the building as it's falling down.
Oh, that was just so incredible.
Mm-hmm.
That was amazing. And again, in one of the making of videos, they go into great detail about how they really focused on making these amazing action sequences like that where you still have control of Nathan. So that, instead of watching a cutscene, you're playing the cutscene.
Right. But it just works so well. One of my favorite parts of the game, actually, was just this part where... You find Elena in her cameraman Jeff, and Jeff kind of gets shot, and she's pretty much, it looks like he's probably mortally wounded, but you know you and Elena, you want to get him out anyways, and Chloe's kind of arguing about it, so but you kind of just kind of you have to grab Jeff, and it's like you're really carrying him, and
I got the sense that I was controlling Nathan, but I did not have any control of Jeff,
right. Right.
Like I was controlling like the two of them as this one unit.
Yeah,
there's just something so exciting about that whole sequence.
Well, it's great because, you can only use your pistol, you can't go into cover, you don't want to stop and fight, so the whole time it's kind of kill who you can but get out of there while you're moving. And the whole time you kind of have Elena and Chloe yelling at you. It was just very dramatic and very
Hectic. It was so hectic. And I mean, that goes into the thing about this game. There's so much variety in this game of stuff you're doing.
Right, because, as soon as you're maybe, you've done a lot of, action sequences, and all of a sudden you're kind of inside a place where there's a puzzle or kind of a long sort of
There are times when like, I would realize I didn't have a gun, and I was like, oh, sweet, that means there's just going to be platforming here. And I'd get excited for that, you know?
Mm-hmm. And then shortly after that, you had the whole train sequence.
Well, before that, I want to talk. There's that one part where you and Elaine are going through the city trying to get to the train, and you do that one fight where you're hanging from, like, that three-way signpost.
Oh, right.
And you're just jumping around these signboards for, like, different covers of angle, using your pistol to take these guys out. That was so cool.
Yeah, it's amazing just how, like, they're able to design moments like that.
I know. Like, I mean, and that's such a great action movie scene.
Mm-hmm.
And you, like, that was so cool. I loved it. Every second of that.
But, I mean, the train, you know, I was kind of looking forward to the train specifically, but, man, that was just, that was
like you
really
said,
cool.
Like we said before, like, every inch of that felt unique.
Remember how the Gears of War 1 train scene was cool?
Yeah. This blows that away.
Oh, man. Because, I mean, you know, because the train's bending, it's going uphill, it's going downhill.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. Like, the way it moved, like, affected how you had to aim your shots and how you had to move and everything. I mean, it was amazing how they could pull that off.
Well, there's the
and then, like, you go into the tunnel. And then you come out the tunnel, and you're in, like, the snowy mountains. I'm like, how did that happen?
Right.
How did they do that? And not only that, but, like, it happened exactly where it needed to happen for, like, the pacing of the game.
I love when you first go into the tunnel, how you get that sniper rifle, and it's like, man, sniping on a train is hard when they keep turning left and right.
I know. That was so cool.
But I love right before you went to the tunnel, you had that helicopter chasing you for a little bit, and it was just, like, kind of blowing up each train behind you, so you would jump off a train. And then it would get blown up. And, like, the last one, that was, like, that really cool shot where, like, it was, like, spinning out of control and coming towards you, and it looked like it was going to hit you, and then you finally
then
went
you into
the tunnel.
I know. That was so great.
Yeah, that was great. And then you finally, when you come out of the tunnel, of course, the helicopter's kind of on you again. You finally get on a turret and bring it down.
Mm-hmm. No, what was the line he had? He was like, how the hell am I supposed to take out a hello?
Yeah, that was great. Oh, I mean, you know, it's worth saying that all of the Nathan Drake quips and comments are still so great.
They're solid gold. I love every one of them.
I mean, this is kind of jumping ahead a bit, but remember when you're inside that ice cave.
I knew I was going to bring this up too.
With well, what's his name?
Tenzin, who's like my favorite character.
Yeah,
in the
he was
game.
Great. Yeah,
he's great.
He doesn't speak English, but you know, they still kind of develop a bond in the course of a game that's completely natural and organic, which was awesome in its own. But the one part where he kind of grabs this rope and, like, you know, it's got this little hook on it. He's, like, swinging it, and then he's like, oh, well, good luck with that, buddy. The chances of doing that, oh, you did it.
I mean,
that was hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, I'm, like, laughing out loud. I'm like, this doesn't happen that often when you're playing a video game.
Absolutely laughing. Oh, God, that was so great. But, you know, you come off the train, you kind of repeat the it's interesting how you repeat that one, the segment from the opening, but they sort of speed up certain parts of it. Like, there's the part where you go into the train.
Yeah.
Like, instead of following you inside, the camera just stays out, and you kind of, you know, get shot out of the other part of the train.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. But then, how about this, that scene where you wake up in that village, you know, with Tenzin and them, and you kind
an
of walk through.
An entire chapter of the game is devoted to you just walking through this village. Did you kick the soccer ball to the kids?
I kicked the soccer ball.
That was like, I was like, that's so great.
I kicked the soccer ball. I scared the two kids that were hiding from me.
Oh, I didn't know you could actually go through and scare them. I just, like, looked at him. He's like, I see you there,
well,
kids.
I more made a face at them. Apparently, you can go pet the goats, and if you pet all the goats, you get a trophy or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But, yeah. Just mostly. And that, you know, then from there, you go into the ice cave, and that's when you kind of first meet those sort of
Yeti, like, things.
Yeah, those Yeti things. When the cool thing with those was whenever they would, like, you know, at that point in the game, you didn't really have, you know, all you had was a pistol to shoot them with, and there'd be parts where they kind of, like, latch onto you, and you had to just put you in, like, the first-person pistol mode, and they're right, like, in your face, and you have to shoot
them.
Yeah,
they were holding you up by your neck, and you had to shoot it off you.
Right. And, like, the one time, I was like, oh, no. And then just in the game still, Tenzin just jumps on it and starts stabbing it with a knife.
Yeah.
That was sweet.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, not that we're, you know, we're more with Tenzin. I mean, like, it's great how it's almost like this kind of Han and Chewie relationship.
Except,
like,
that Han can understand Chewie. But yeah,
right, so yeah. Like you said, they were two characters who didn't even speak each other's language, yet a really strong feeling friendship was developed between the two of them in the course of the game.
Right.
And that was amazing.
I loved it later at the end where, like, he was, like, able to kind of, he, like, knew some of the language and talked a little bit.
Yeah.
But there'd be parts where, like, you know, you would hear him say, like, Drake or just something and be like, oh, yeah, sweet. You could kind of get an idea of what he's saying. It was pretty cool.
Interesting bit of trivia, too. The voice actor's different, but the mocap actor for Tenzin is the same guy who played Navarro in the first one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Robin Atkin Downs is his name.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But then after that, you kind of had you go back to the village and you kind of had
it's
the tank
besieged.
Scene. Yeah, it's
sequence.
It's just like, yeah, it literally is, you know, it's the siege.
Yeah, and you know that what this game did such a good job of that a lot of the games don't is in similar situations. I didn't feel like the enemies were, like, just going for me and these other people were just kind of there. Like,
right.
You know, the villagers could kill bad guys. That, for whatever reason, doesn't happen very often.
No, it doesn't. Usually they're just kind of there. And
so I felt like I was actually part of this bigger struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and then, just the way you systematically took down that tank was awesome.
Just the way it was kind of following you was just great. There'd be times you'd be walking along and it would kind of, like, come out of, like, a wall or something. Almost like the tank itself was alive and it was, like, chasing you.
Yeah.
Right. And then, you know, he's like, I need, you know, the whole time he's like, I need an RPG. And then you kind of have that sequence where you're finally getting the thing down. Then you had, though, shortly after that, that amazing sequence where you're kind of jumping back and forth, like, onto jeeps as they're driving.
Did you sit there playing, thinking, this looks more realistic than the jeep sequence from Indiana Jones 4?
I kind of thought about it after the fact. At the time, I was just kind of totally into, you know, it.
Well, yeah, yeah. But yeah, I'm like, why the fuck does this real-time video game look better than what should be one of the biggest action film franchises ever?
Right. But that whole sequence, though, is just so much fun, jumping from thing to thing. And then, like, the one part where you, like, realize Elena's there, too, and you have to help her, and it's, like, just, like, looking at, like, how those, all the other Jeeps are driving. They're not just, like, on this one path. Oh, it was just incredible.
See, that brings me to another point, is that was really kind of the only vehicle sequence in the game. They didn't do anything like the jet ski from the first one, which seemed to be a big complaint for a lot of people.
Right, weren't fans of the jet ski.
So, yeah.
So, nothing like that this time, really. Yeah, that was pretty much the closest thing to a vehicle sequence. And you were kind of jumping back and forth from them. It was, you know,
got in that turret for a bit.
Right. It was good times.
So then you get to the outer parts of the temple.
Mm-hmm.
Working your way in.
Right. And that was sort of maybe that was the one part where there weren't as many set pieces all of a sudden.
It was still cool, though.
Yeah, it was still cool. Well, I mean, it was much more just, you know, Uncharted sticking to its tropes a bit.
Yeah.
It still, you know, worked out fine. And, you know, the game got harder at this point, too.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. It really ramped up in difficulty.
It did, because you had a lot more people, you know, that they had these kind of helmets on, so it was
the armor and everything, yeah. Right. Those guys are assholes.
You were running into these people with, you know, Gatling guns and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's that one sequence where you go into the room with, like, two guys with the Gatling guns and you find some RPGs.
Oh, right.
You know which one I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The way I went through that, I felt like a complete badass. It took out the one really quickly, but didn't have enough RPGs to finish off the other guy, and, like, I made this jump that I don't think I was really supposed to make, but I made it anyway, rolled up behind some cover, found another RPG, popped around the corner, and then finished off the second guy. I was like, fuck yeah, that was sweet.
Yeah, whole, when you kind of get to Shambhala, it was just a really cool-looking place.
Oh, the reveal of Shambhala, like, I mean, that's like, I mean, again, that was such a good shot. The way that was framed and set up was so good. You just got a sense of how big and gorgeous this place was.
You had that whole, that moment where you're kind of on that one pillar and then it kind of fell down. It was,
that was sliding
downhill, right? But, you know, we're getting kind of close to the end. Did you enjoy the final boss fight?
Not as much as the first one, I have to say.
Yeah, I would too. I mean, I still liked it a lot. I still think it worked fine. I liked it because it was tense.
It was very tense.
Because he was chasing you the whole time, and you know you knew if he got to you, he could very well kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, especially towards the end when he threw three grenades or whatever at a time.
Yeah,
that's crazy. And you know you needed to get enough space so you can shoot one of those sap things. And sometimes you would like run away and you would look back and expect to see him at one place and he wasn't. And he would come from your side and just kind of throw you across the level.
My first instinct when I got to that boss fight was like, I was like, oh, I bet like if I shoot out all these sap things, then the whole tree will come falling down on top of him.
Oh, really?
And then I was like, oh wait, they regrow. I guess I just have to kill him. I almost feel like that might have been a little more interesting way of taking him out rather than just shooting him a lot.
Well, everyone complained about Uncharted 1's boss fight, which was fine.
But you skipped kind of the big reveal that these Yeti things are actually like Shambhala natives who are, you know, juiced up on this sap.
Right.
And there's, you know, there's a bunch of times you had to fight them. There was one fight. I'm trying to think how to describe the fight. It was right before that puzzle where you had to, like, use yourself as the counterweight to that gate. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, so first you just fight a bunch of, like, you know, Lazarevich's men, including one Gatling gun guy. And after I finally took them all out, I was, like, out of ammo completely. I had a pistol left, and then two of those natives come in. I'm like, fuck, 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 how do I kill these guys? And I realized right below me is where I killed the Gatling gun guy. I was up on a platform. So, like, as quick as I could, like, jump down, grab the gun, as these things are running towards me, pulled up the gun, and then, boom, just started taking them out. And, like, by the time I killed the second one, it was literally, like, a foot away from me before it went down. I was like, that is incredible.
Did you flip through Nathan's journal?
Yeah, his journal is hilarious.
Right.
The Many Faces of Sullivan.
The Many Faces of Sullivan.
Then there's the Scarometer, and it goes, like, from Sully's mustache to the things from Uncharted 1 to these Yeti things.
Right. All sorts of great things in there. Oh, man.
And there's that one last final fight before you find, like, what you think is the I can't pronounce it. Shintamani Stone. And did you have the game crash on you after that fight?
No. Is this the fight where you walk in and it was originally like the natives fighting the guys?
Yeah, and it went on forever because guys just kept coming in.
Yeah, that happened for me too. That seemed like a bug.
That it crashed or that they kept coming?
They kept coming. But they wouldn't stop coming. And then the second time...
I think like that was supposed to kind of be the equivalent of the first game's really big firefight on the boat. Like, that was the final big gun battle.
But the one time I was doing it, and they were literally coming out forever. Like
me too. And like it seemed like the same sequence of guys. I don't know.
Yeah. And then then I died. I tried it again, and they did not come out nearly as forever.
Oh really?
And the only difference was that the second time, I didn't kill. There was the Yeti people existing still.
Mm-hmm.
Like I felt like maybe there's a problem. Like maybe this was a bug where if you kill the Yeti people before you finish out the guys, they keep coming in.
Yeah, because I had a grenade launcher, so I took out the Yeti guys first.
Right. That's what I did the first time.
Well, and then what ended up happening is I dropped down, and I was behind a pillar, and I just stayed at this pillar because for some reason
the ammo was replenishing there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you in the same spot?
Yeah. No, that couldn't be right because I was literally. There's no way more people should have been coming, because it was at a point where there's just no ammo left. Like, it was literally at a point there was way too many people coming. Then the second time I did it, like, they wasn't nearly as much. Did they stop coming eventually for you?
Yeah, eventually, yeah.
Oh, really?
And what happened, what happens, as soon as I beat that sequence, the game froze. Thank God my autosave worked. But apparently the same exact thing happened to Scribble. Same spot. And I wonder if he had that same thing with, like, almost unending wave of guys coming, too.
Yeah,
maybe that's a glitch.
It sounds like this one part of the game had some trouble.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed now. The game is a fault.
No!
There's this one thing wrong with it. This one glitchy room at the very end.
Yeah. But I was also glad now, too, that after the boss fight, there was still one more platforming thing that had to be done with the bridge falling apart. That was awesome.
Oh, yeah, of course. And then there's that one moment where you were kind of falling down again when Chloe was getting attacked by anything. You had to sort of shoot it off her while you were falling down, of course.
Yeah.
Just because that's awesome.
And then just the ending was so good. I thought she was dead.
I was worried because I felt like if they did kill off Elena, I was worried that maybe they didn't get it. Because this is the kind of thing where, no, the heroes always survive. They always live on to fight another day. If they had killed off Elena, I would have been mad.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't.
They kind of full-throttled us.
You always say that, as if...
I know, but it's exactly what they did. It's a death you already knew happened that you kind of forgot about in the moment, and that's who you're mourning, and not the person you think is dead.
Right. But, you know, it worked out.
And his thing about, what's a 10? Clowns. Clowns. Yeah, I'm scared of clowns.
I'm just glad that... I'm kind of happy it looks like Drake is getting... is with Elena and not Chloe.
Yeah, they finally got their kiss.
Oh, goody.
But yeah, again, I don't know what how Naughty Dog does, but the end of their games have these amazing sunrises.
Yeah,
that looks so good.
It's like, why not?
It looks so good.
I was so happy just to see Solly show up again at the end.
Yeah, that
like,
was
Solly,
great.
Solly, yay. It was all good times, to be sure.
I've never felt, it's not since like Grim Fandango or Alex in Half-Life 2, have I felt so endeared to a cast of characters in a video game.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, they
you
look,
know?
Yeah, seriously. Like, when you kind of see them all there together at the end, you're like, you guys are awesome.
Yeah, seriously. I don't know, I mean, not to reveal what might happen in the month of January, but I don't know how another game's going to beat that.
Yeah, I think when
I
we do...
Know. I don't know.
Yeah. I almost
feel like we might need to do, like, the top six games of the year and just assume that Uncharted 2 is going to win.
Yeah, I know. I feel like when we do it... Well, remember last time we kind of jumped the gun and did 1-2 at the same time? I feel like we almost had to do that again just for lack of suspense.
Yeah.
We can't give away number 2 and then, like, people will be like, oh, what's number 1 going to be?
Yeah. Oh, they didn't say anything about Uncharted.
Yeah. I can't imagine I'm going to like a game more than Uncharted.
Oh, just... I mean... This is about as close as you're ever going to get to a perfect game.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that could possibly be better than it is going to be Uncharted 3.
Probably.
I don't see any other studio out there who is going to do this. I really don't.
Uncharted 1 didn't have that many imitators because it really didn't... It wasn't terribly successful.
And that was, again, it was an issue of the PS3 install base.
I feel like this game is set up to be successful.
Yes.
Like, just the way that it's being reviewed ridiculously well. It's getting exposure. People are talking about it.
And it has a great commercial, even.
Yeah. I think this one will do well. And I think we are going to see, within even a year or two, we're going to see a lot more sort of Uncharted imitators.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it'll help the industry as a whole.
Yes.
I wonder, though, do you think it kind of hurts Brutal Legend that it got released the same day as this game?
Yeah, about that.
Yeah, like...
That was maybe a bad idea.
Like, some shit was like, oh, our games have witty dialogue and stuff, and it's like, well...
So do they.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah. It's like, look out, Brutal Legend. All right. But it was a great game, to be sure. Enjoyed it.
And also, too, it's amazing how this game that goes for the realistic art style, do you ever get a sense of the Uncanny Valley in it?
No.
No, I don't know. I don't know how they do this. I don't know how.
No, there's something to it. Couldn't explain it to you, but it works very well.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, just when you were going down kind of like into the tree at the end, and like the last chapter marker came up and it said, it was like chapter 25, the tree of life. I was like, oh, hell yes.
Like, oh, man.
Here we go. This is it. Time to kick some A. I can't imagine how you can't like this game. I'll say that. If you like don't think this game is amazing, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
Like, what else do you need to do?
Seriously, like, what else could a video game do at this point?
Yeah, like, what else is this? What else do you want from this goddamn game before you like it? Like,
I
can't imagine.
I haven't even touched the multiplayer yet. I'm
right.
So excited. Did you see some of the stuff you could buy in the single-player store?
Like, well, like skins and stuff?
There's different skins. There's, like, different filters.
Oh, yeah.
The one called Next Gen, from what I understand, it just makes everything look brown.
Yeah, we were talking about that in the Squadcast for Uncharted 1.
Okay.
Yeah, it makes everything look kind of browner, like, it glistens more, I think.
That's great.
Right, total riff on, like, all those Unreal games.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need to go play through it again at some point.
I know, it's so good. You gonna try it on hard mode, you think?
Oh, sure. Why not?
Yeah, why not?
I mean, it was already... You know, that's another thing I like about, though. You know, the game's not afraid to get a little hard.
No.
It kind of counteracts it with very generous checkpoints.
Yeah, it does. And when you die, you instantly load right back to the last checkpoint. There's no waiting.
Oh, right. Yeah, geez. How do they do that?
Yeah, there's no load time.
I don't even, like, think
game.
About it while I'm playing it. It's just like, yeah, of course this is all instantaneous. Weird. Just weird.
So good.
Just how... Yeah, I just don't even understand. Maybe, I kind of almost believe them when they say, like, the game had to take up all the Blu-ray.
Yeah, see, this I'll believe. You know what? You guys need more space? Great.
Right.
Whatever you want.
It'll be interesting to see the Game of the Year awards and stuff at the end, see if anybody is going to be ballsy enough to not give it to this.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, unless Modern Warfare 2 is, like, the second coming. But again, I'm sure that game's going to be great. I'm sure it's still good. This.
Yeah, I don't. I just can't. Like it, the game. This game literally is so good. I just can't imagine what could be better than it. Right. Like within the next year or so. So that was our Gush segment on Uncharted 2.
Woo!
We, you know, we're fans to say the least. So thanks again for listening, everybody. We'll do the spiel real quick. Twitter.com/explodingbarrel, explodingbarrel.wordpress.com, squadronofshame.com. Go to all of those things.
Oh, and if you want to check out my video show that I'm doing at Duke TV, press start, please visit duketv.org and watch that. We talk about, in the first episode, Beatles Rock Band, Scribblenauts, and Halo 3 ODST.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you next week on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Bye.